In the suite of rooms above my restaurant that I call home, I'm usually up at 5 on weekdays getting ready for the morning show. Weekends find me sleeping in a little longer, till 9 or even 10 on Saturdays. Because there'd been more than one nightcap in the hotel bar, which we'd closed at 3, by the way, I could have used a little extra bedtime that Saturday. But I didn't get it. Something, exactly what I wasn't sure, only that I was dreaming of birds chirping, woke me a little after 8. I opened my eyes, blinked a few times, and wondered where I was and why I could see sky outside my bedroom window. Sky, but no birds. My head felt as if it was filled with Kleenex. Used Kleenex. In an effort to inject a small element of kindness in an unkind world, I will not even begin to describe what the inside of my mouth resembled. I staggered to the bathroom and did everything that had to be done. Revived by a hot, then cold shower and the taste of strenuously applied toothpaste and wrapped in a plush terry bathrobe provided by the hotel, I plopped down on the sofa in the suite sitting room and dialed room service. I put in a request for the biggest omelet on the menu, 2 servings of crispy bacon, toast, and hot coffee, and plenty of it. Then, confident that the ball was rolling, I leaned back against the sofa cushion and began working the TV's remote control. I flipped through a morass of brightly colored kids' cartoons, of live, recent, and classic sporting events, movies that I hadn't liked the first time I saw them, sincere-looking hucksters peddling cosmetics and cures, and screaming-head news channels. Finally, I arrived at a relatively calm oasis, the repeat of last night's Charlie Rose interview. Charlie was talking to a Democratic congressman whom, I'm sorry to say, I did not recognize. Charlie asked him if he thought the Dems would reclaim the House in 2012. And surprise, surprise, the congressman's response to that lobbed puffball was, "Heck yes!" From that point, he and Charlie engaged in a somewhat laid-back battle for control of talking points. I'm not sure who won because a gong announced what I assumed was my breakfast waiting at the door to the suite. I could almost taste the omelet as I danced across the carpet. Reaching for the doorknob, I exhaled, intending to breathe deeply of the comforting aroma of coffee and eggs mixed with melted cheese, peppers, and onions. Instead, my nostrils were filled with the overpowering scent of Old Spice mixed with morning cigarette breath. Eddie Pat Patton was at my door, wearing dark gray slacks, a matching gray jacket, a gray Kangol cap, and a nasty grin. He reminded me of an evil Disney rat, specifically the one threatening the baby in Lady and the Tramp. If you'll pardon the digression, it's always struck me as odd that a company built on the popularity of a mouse would be so quick to demonize rats. "Morning, Billy," he said, taking a step forward so that his right shoe blocked me from slamming the door in his face, a move perfected by door-to-door salesmen and cops. "I hope you don't mind my dropping by. I phoned, but you didn't pick up."
"You phoned?"
"About a half hour ago," he said. "Right, Nat?"
"About then."
Nat had been standing to Patton's left, out of my line of sight. The young muscle with the slick down hair, who'd been with him after the midday show telecast. Today, he was wearing tan poplin slacks and a cocoa brown t-shirt that fit him like a second skin. He was clutching a bright red folder in his huge right hand.
"Guess you might have been on the throne," Patton said.
"I was asleep," I said, realizing now that the bird chirp had been coming from the hotel phone.
"Well, I'm glad I took a chance you might be here," Patton said. He turned to Nat. "Give me the file, boy, and go wait for me in the car."
The big man's mouth tensed. He handed his employer the folder. Then, with some reluctance, he drifted away, presumably to do as he was told.
"This won't take long, Billy," Patton said, walking past me into the suite. "Not that you seem to be in any hurry to greet the day."
"What can I do for you?" I asked, closing the door and following him into the sitting room.